Line Up for Braves Country by DM McGee, 2024. A is for Aaron, the Hammer and Hank, the real home run king, take that to the bank. B is for Bobby, Cox never cowered, he'd give Blue quite an earful on his way to the showers. C is for Chipper, don't call him Larry, he would show up in Shea, the Mets he would bury. D is for David, justice he'd bring, a game six solo brought Atlanta their ring. E is for Eddie Matthews, 512 bombs away, lit skies from Boston to Milwaukee to the A. F is for Fred, McGriff dog biting crime, a fire was lit the day he arrived. G is for Glavin, southpaw whines and kicks, changing speeds east and west, a gem in game six. H is for Harry and his brother George Wright, the father of baseball, Boston pennants in flight. I is for inning, ending double play, Riley to Ozzie to Olsen all day. J is for Jones, Andrew let her fly, and his gloves in center is where singles would die. K is for strikeouts, a plenty from Strider, the quads in the stash, getting swings from that slider. L is for Lopez, Javi to B-Mac, Travis and Smurf, we've been lucky to see that. M is for Mad Dog, he won 355, could swat flies with the changeup and still bust you inside. N is for Necro, he got to the hall by bending and knuckling and floating that ball. O is for Otis, old Nixon could fly, the catch at the wall baffled our eyes. P still for Peterson, we were all rocking pearls, with Eddie and Jorge, we were out of this world. Q is a quandary for why Dale is not in, Murphy MVPs again and again. R is for ranking, the top pitcher's lore, remember Kid Nichols, 107 war. S is for Smoltzy, the big three in the hall, when the game's on the line, you give John the ball. T is for Tyler, Matzik and the gift of 2021, the entire night shift. U is for Chavez, but we say Uncle Jesse. The frames, the release, kept the batters guessing. V is Van Wieren, Skip Carey too, Don Ernie Joe, the tales from the booth. W is Warren, Spawn Johnny Sane, they'd ride him in Boston and then pray for rain. X is Mazzoni, yeah, X marked the spot. Leo rocked next to Bobby and his pitchers stayed hot. Why it makes us feel young, the game's main appeal, chopping through the battery, there's no better feel. Z is for Zip Boom Bam, Ramalama Ding Dong. Throughout the summer, we sing that song. From AJ to eyeglasses and a hell of a pen, Mad Max, Uncle Charlie, win after win. A cannon from short, and RCA later. Acuna Matata, there is no one greater. Though you can't fit them all, when you just A to Z, think of your favorites in the rafters we see. I started with 3, then 10, 25, 47, 31, and of course 29. Let's not forget 21, 41, 35, the great 44, or 755. An old number 6 who led his great teams. The pennants were flying. It felt like a dream. From Boston to Milwaukee, to Atlanta's TBS, a family, a tradition, Braves Country's the best. Line Up for Braves Country by DM McGee, 2024. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines, react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch by pitch, play by play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show. Phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to stay
idea?
The pump up. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
Can you never stop the music? Except for now, when I talk.
Well, the Chiefs are going to Super Bowl 58.
5 + 8 = 13.
What?
13 is Taylor's favorite number. She is doing all of this.
Yeah, well, she has been to a lot of games. Says she's been to 12 so far.
Super Bowl will be number 13.
Yeah, and on the other side, a crazy comeback by the 49ers.
49. 4 + 9 = 13.
Right. Anyway, the Niners are a good team. They're a 1 seed.
What are the Chiefs?
A 3 seed.
1 seed. 3 seed. 13.
Okay, but isn't she going to be in Japan for the Super Bowl on like February 11th?
2/11.
Well, that's the
day. 2 + 11 = 13.
Okay, but she can't possibly get there in time for the game.
A nonstop flight from Tokyo to Vegas.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
13 hours.
Okay, fine. I guess she could make it, but it's not 100%.
100.
Oh, boy.
100 minus 13 is 87, which is Taylor's boyfriend's jersey number.
You're really stretching it here.
She is a mastermind.
Because, baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because, baby, now we got bad blood.
Super Bowl week, and all the T-Swift Hades, and all the sweet T-Swift lovies, well, it's your week to get on both sides and root against or root for Travis Kelce and, of course, Taylor Swift. They are expecting her to show up at the ball game. There is a concert, I believe, in, if I heard it correctly, it's in Tokyo. I do know it's in Japan, and anyways, they've figured out that they'll have enough time to fly over to the stadium after the show. What led into our show was something that we put together, and it's called Lineup for Braves Country. Hope you enjoyed it. If you missed it, we're going to play it at the end of today's show as well. And it's basically just a tribute to the Atlanta Braves. We got a lot of that stuff coming up that for folks who probably aren't very familiar with it, I am a bit of a writer. I do write a little bit, and that's something that I put together. I got a lot of other stuff that I'm putting together for this season. Okay, now I did see something else in the news that's pretty interesting. Evidently, she has put, or her team, obviously she's not doing this, her team, her lawyers, has put sent a threatening letter for a kid that I guess is running, he's running some kind of social media. And I think it's on Twitter, and it may be on other things, or X, as they call it now. But evidently what he's doing is he's, and I guess he does this for a lot of celebrities, where he posts where they are via their flight records. But I guess what the problem is with Swift is that he's doing this in real time. And I can understand where they're coming from, because someone as high profile as her, and she's already had some stalking issues, you're putting out where she is. I mean, first of all, why does anybody need to know that? But they damn sure don't need to know that in real time. Because you're talking about real time at that point. You're talking about somebody. They were talking about today on the news that I guess at some point, and I don't know how recently this was, forgive me, but I'm not up on all my Swifty news. But evidently, so I was familiar with the stalker that showed up at her house in New York City, or apartment, or whatever it is that she lives in. And he had one of those no cash bail, so he came right out instantly, went right back to wherever she is, and got arrested again. And this time, second time, they put a much more heavy charge on her, on him. But evidently, there's been folks that have shown up at her residence, and they weren't clear about whether or not this was in New York or this was elsewhere, because I'm sure she has many, many houses. But they were referring to one specific time in New York where the person showed up and had ammunition on them. Now, whether or not that meant that they were, you know, what all that entailed, I don't know. But I just don't feel like, and look, I get the idea that the kid should be able to put out information that people are interested in, but I agree with the fact that it doesn't need to be real time. If people want to know where their favorite singer or celebrity is, the problem is when you get in the public eye, this is what you're dealing with. So all you that think it'd be great to be famous, take that into consideration. But with all that being said, some fan who wants to know where their favorite singer or actor is, okay, it's a little weird to me, but it is what it is. But for them to want to know in real time, there's absolutely no reasoning for that. So hopefully they get that straightened out, and hopefully the kid, I guess the kid was doing it to Elon Musk at one point, and he just shut down his Twitter until he agreed to not do real time. So anyways, take that with a grain of salt, but we are at Super Bowl week, and of course you know what that means. That means that all of this stuff with the Swiftie stuff, everyone's going to complain about it at your Super Bowl party, or are they? I've seen show after show this week, radio, podcast, you name it, and the consensus has been everybody digging in, saying, get over it. It's not a big deal that they're covering Taylor Swift. Get over it. They're not doing that much coverage. It's like showing her during a touchdown, 4 seconds here, 3 seconds there, right? And what they came out and averaged out is it's around 23 to 25 seconds per broadcast that you see her. My take is this. I haven't heard anybody realistically make that big a deal about it. So I am in the belief that the knuckleheads on all the networks, I'm not picking one in particularly, on all the networks, on all the podcasts, on everything, they want, it's almost a little bit of virtue signaling. They want to pat themselves on the back and say, hey, Swift fans should be included, so everyone will sit back and say, oh, look at you, you're such a great person. And I'm all for having the Swift fans watching football. Who cares? But I contend the whole thing is made up. That the entire, yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of knuckleheads here and there. There always are. And I've seen a few comments on social media. But it's not overwhelming. And I've seen far more comments on other things that nobody addresses. And yet they're digging in, they're leaning in to the Swift thing. And I really think, I guess they think it's going to help ratings, so they make it a part of one of their segments. So I guess that's one angle. But I honestly think it really feels like, more than anything else, a bit of virtue signaling where they want to say, look, it's great. Let the Swift fans be involved in the Super Bowl. Who the hell said they couldn't? You're going to have to show me where, and I'm not talking about one lone nut on social media whose handle is user 457392, right? With no profile picture and 2 followers. I'm not talking about a bot. I'm talking about, you're going to have to show me someone, and it probably wouldn't be bad for their, honestly, for their status, if you're talking about someone who might have a struggling show on FS1 or ESPN or whatnot, to dig in and say, no, I don't want her involved, just because it'll probably will get you clicks. But I have yet to see that one person, because I don't think anybody wants to be associated with that. And if you do associate yourself with that, you're kind of burning down your entire show. You're going all in on a really stupid bet. And the bet would be is that everybody would love your take and you would be catapulted to the top. I don't think that would be the case. I think most people would roll their eyes and go, whatever, dude, change the channel. And there would be that very small percentage who would think it's a huge deal. And then they would stitch it and come back and respond to you. But anyways, I just wanted to talk about that because I feel like the whole thing feels made up. We're hosting a Super Bowl party. I seriously doubt. I mean, there might be one knucklehead at the party who's going to say, "Oh man, I can't stand all the Taylor Swift talk." But I doubt that that's going to be a big part of the broadcast. It's always the game, and on that, obviously the commercials. That's what people come to the Super Bowl for. They're not coming for the performances. The only way she becomes a big part of the conversation is if she steps out on that stage at halftime and surprises everybody and sings a song with Usher. Other than that, nobody gives a crap about Usher singing Halftime. I can tell you, I can guarantee you that. The people who are big Usher fans are probably going to get offended and mad and sad or whatever. But the simple fact of the matter is he hasn't been what you would consider big time in years. So he's like a lot of the Super Bowl bands and artists. They're at their end of their road, and it's almost like a victor of, you know, or almost like a farewell tour. I think of when, you know, all the rappers came out a few years ago and 50 Cent started looking more like 475. I think about that because those guys at one point had huge careers, and though they still have their diehard fan base, they're not really in the same spot that they were in years ago. It's very rare in recent memory. I can't really think. Maybe Lady Gaga. Seems like she was still pretty much at the top of her, at the top of the page when she sang. But it's very rare nowadays. Most of them, I don't want to say they're has-beens. They're just older artists that nobody really gets that excited about. And they play it safe because they don't want to put someone out there that's going to offend and freak out millions and millions of people and hurt any kind of, you know, even think about hurting the Super Bowl brand. And it could be anybody. If you have a younger artist who thinks that they're going to make a big time splash by doing something controversial on the Super Bowl halftime show, they'll do it. But I think you can trust Usher not to act like a bozo. And I can't even remember most of the Super Bowl halftime shows of recent because they've really been so... I mean, most of the time, honestly, that's when you get up, you go to the restroom, maybe you fix yourself a plate, and you kind of want to just go, all right, well, how much time do we have? And it really seems like it takes much longer than it should. But I feel like a lot of that has to do with the fact that your typical football halftime is about 12 minutes. It's a pretty tight 12 minutes. The halftime show is usually about a half hour. And that's why it usually takes, that's why it feels so damn long. Now, if you're looking at the, I just pulled up the recent Super Bowl halftime, so I'm going to scroll to the bottom because going all the way to the, you know, the early days, I mean, you had marching bands playing because the Super Bowl wasn't a big deal. So Rihanna was last year, so you can make the argument that she was still in her prime. But 2 years before, it was the Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. And Snoop Dogg's, I mean, he's well past his prime. He's doing really bad commercials and even worse movies right now. You had The Weeknd in 2021. Who? You had Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. And though you almost had to give that a pass because that was heading into the... Well, that was right before COVID, excuse me. The COVID year in Tampa was The Weeknd. And it's a singer? Okay, I thought it was a band. And anyways, it's a singer. But anyways, they were scrambling last minute, so you can't expect anybody to go nuts over that. Maroon 5, I remember that, because I remember there were a lot of fans of Maroon 5, but they're long past, long past. You can make the argument Justin Timberlake, but Justin Timberlake would have been a bigger deal 10 years prior, 8 years prior. He's still a big name, but he's not where he was. So Lady Gaga, I would contend Lady Gaga in 2017. And I'll go ahead and give you the Rihanna in 2023. Cause she is still, you know, in her prime per se. I didn't realize she's been recording since 2005. So she's a lot older than I thought she was. But anyways, typically, this is what you get. I mean, you get Coldplay in 2016. Katy Perry was a pretty big name in 2015, so I'll give you that one. But they're usually hit or miss. The Bruno Mars, I remember that being a good one. But it seemed like around 7 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, you started getting lesser and lesser. Because before, when you had Bruno Mars and Beyonce, Madonna was well past her prime, but she was so legendary, it hadn't really ruined her brand in 2012 that you can make an argument it was still. I don't even remember her doing it. That was in 2012. Oh, I know I don't remember that because I was at a buddy's house and we were doing beer funnels outside. The Black Eyed Peas, the Who. Now I remember the Who in 2010. I remember going, whoa. I feel like I just saw them for free down at the park. And what did we have before that? And so a lot of them, it turns into legacy, because we're talking about Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, not in the height of their careers. Prince, not in the height of his career. The Rolling Stones, I mean, they've been around so damn long, you can't even tell me when the height was. Paul McCartney was the one in Jacksonville. So anyways, the point being, unless the only way that she's going to be a big part of the story of the Super Bowl, there's two things that would have to happen. Either A, she gets on that stage and sings, which I don't think happens. She's doing her own show, so, you know, come on. Like, she's got time to practice and rehearse. Unless they're just going to have her go out there and sing by herself. The other thing would be what I'm predicting, and that is if Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce gets on one knee and proposes to her, and that would make her a part of it. And then the anti-Swifties would really go in full vomit stage. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into some of these prop bets on Super Bowl week, and the line, it is moving. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today, we go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
I was back in the corner of the room, just happened to be pretty close to Waylon Jennings, and I just heard him go, "Well, ain't no good old boy ever sung Swahili. I think I'm out of here."
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Waylon walks out of the door. I'm not dealing with this. I don't know what that means, but I am not going to say it, and we lost Waylon right there.
Have y'all seen this? If you haven't come across this, I'll give you a quick explanation, then we'll get on to the football. So, there's a new documentary out about the song "We Are the World," which I think a lot of folks, most folks, are aware of that song. You remember it very well if you grew up in the early 80s and were of age to remember when it came out, because it was a huge deal, Live Aid and all that stuff. But anyways, the story that's being told, the last voice you heard was Lionel Richie. And there are a bunch of different singers sharing their experience, and evidently in the middle of this, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's kind of long, but in the middle of it, Stevie Wonder goes in front of everybody and says, I guess he had learned some Swahili, and he was wanting to implement, I wish I could remember what it was that was being said, but basically, he was wanting to implement some lyrics in Swahili, and I think they were very basic lyrics, but he was singing it in front of everybody, doing how, you know, Stevie did with, you know, swaying back and forth. And anyways, they didn't end up using it, is really the big point of this. But I guess as he's singing it and trying to teach everybody how to sing it, you got to realize they all showed up, all these famous singers showed up one day, and their goal was to get the damn song cut so they can go on with their lives. And he's wanting to implement something that it's in a foreign language, and so nobody's going to know how to pronounce it correctly, sing it correctly. And he wants to record this. And so it's just, it's going to cause a disaster. But he's wanting to add Swahili, which is an African language. And in the middle of this, Waylon Jennings is in the back, and I did not know Waylon was a part of the original cast. But in the middle of it, he looks at everybody or just makes a comment in the back. And I guess he's standing right next to Lionel Richie and a couple other folks. He goes, you heard what he said. I don't ever know any good old boy who has sang in Swahili. He got up and left. And then Lionel Richie added that evidently Waylon said he didn't even know what it meant. And I think that was the basis of it. He was like, I'm out of here. And so it kind of caught fire on social media when some people were posting it, and it was funny. I think a lot of folks were out there trying to cancel Waylon, saying, how dare you not try to embrace a new language. Instead, it went exactly how I would have imagined it went. It went the exact opposite. Everyone was like, yep, that's old Waylon. You're not going to teach that old dog new tricks. He's not your lap dog. So that is in true Waylon fashion. I've been a Waylon fan my whole life. Well, not my whole life, but my entire adult life. And that just adds to his legend that he wasn't willing to, basically, I don't know if you'd call it sell out, but basically be phony, which is, I think that is what the gist of it. I wish he was still around so we could ask him, what did you mean by that? I guarantee you, just reading the tea leaves, he wasn't willing to be phony. Okay, enough of the music talk. Hell, we've talked more music on this show than I ever planned on. Just kind of leaned into that direction, but so much fun stuff going on in the world heading into the Super Bowl. This is what happens when it's Super Bowl week, because one of the problems is there's nothing else of importance going on. Pitchers and catchers don't report until Wednesday. Braves pitchers and catchers report. For the guys and gals out there who tend to forget, that is Valentine's Day. And so if you hear pitchers and catchers report, that's your cue to, you better remember that it's Valentine's Day, right? Or I guess vice versa. If you're more into Valentine's Day, then you'll remember that it's pitchers and catchers report. But anyways, you won't even get spring training games for another, 10 days after that? Saturday, September 24th, the Atlanta Braves will play Tampa Bay. That is a Saturday at 1:05 first pitch. A couple of days before that, San Diego and the Dodgers are starting their spring training early because they begin the season in Seoul, Korea, a week before opening day in Major League Baseball. Those games will count in Seoul, Korea. So they're letting them get kind of a head start, and they'll end up leaving the spring training facilities to get ready for the season. I believe what they've decided to do is they'll take their 26-man roster on, but if the Dodgers and Padres decide that they need more work, they will allow the rest of the rosters to stick around in spring training. But it's really going to be up to them. Usually by the time you get to that point, especially because they're reporting a few days earlier, you're going to be, all right, let's go. Let's just get ready. Let's get stretched out and let's rest. And because once again, they're trying to mirror the minor league baseball season to the Major League Baseball season a little better these days. It was always dumbfounding the way they used to do it. But anyways, with that being said, you don't want to wear these guys out if you don't have to. But the Braves will play on Saturday. As of right now, there's only been one game that's been announced that's going to be on TV for the Atlanta Braves in the early going. Now, the Atlanta Braves announced their TV deal, their TV broadcast games, and they don't begin until March 20th. It's a week before the season. And they're going to have like 3 or 4 games, and then they're going to get going. Really disappointing, by the way. Extremely disappointing, because when you look at that, and you just realize when you see that as good as the Braves organization is, as great as it's ran, they're not on the same level of the teams up in the Northeast. And for that matter, teams like the Dodgers. Because you look at their broadcast schedules. I mean, the Phillies, compared to our three to four, they haven't put it in stone, but between the 3 and 4 broadcast games that they're going to do with the Braves starting March 20th, and then obviously a week later you got opening day, so you can't squeeze too much in. Comparatively, the Phillies are doing 14 games, and there's a 15th one that's going to be broadcast as well on a different outlet, but their personal games are 14. That's a big damn difference. You're talking about just about every other day you've got a Philly game on if you're a Phillies fan, and it's really much more enjoyable. But we are waiting for the rest of the schedule to get leaked, and when it does, we will give you our broadcast schedule, because we will bring you any game that the Braves are on TV for. The plan is to bring you those games. But right now, the only one, like I said, is Wednesday, February 28th, 1:05 first pitch, and we will have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves right here on Braves Country Radio. To that point, this spring, this summer, going into the fall, we are going to be giving you on Braves Country every day the condensed version of the game from the day before. So in case you missed it and you just want to know what's going on, we will also have the post-game show in there as well. So the post-game show is going to come on around 4 o'clock from 4 to 5. From 3 to 4, we're going to be doing the replay from the day before. And I would rather do that than to give you a bunch of recorded stuff. So that's what we're going to do, because we've got a lot more irons in the fire this spring and this summer. We want to make sure that we're bringing you everything. And we are going to continue to do the Football Fridays and stuff like that. But in general, we're going to bring you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves the following day on replay here on radio here on WQEE. And then the postgame show will follow. And the postgame show, we're having a call-in show. And, of course, you can catch all this live on Braves Country Radio on YouTube every single night. So there you have that. On the day games, WQEE will carry the games live. So there you have that. Okay, let's go ahead and get into... I'm going to double-check one more time, see if anything... No, still nothing. I was hoping we would have gotten maybe something. I'm on the site every day checking to see if any more Braves games have been leaked. And they've never waited this long. And now that I know that we're not, that they're not going to first of all, the Braves have never waited till the last week of the season in spring training to bring you the games. I think some of this has to do with the poverty company that is Bally Sports at this point, and they're on their way out, thankfully. So I think they're cutting corners across the board. But it's really, really strange that more of the other teams, I mean, we're not getting anything. I only knew to get, if you go on the desktop right now, it doesn't show you what I can see. There's a backdoor view to it that I can see the games when they're posted. But it's crazy. Anyways, let's get into the Super Bowl. Obviously, 6:30. Kickoff should be a fun one. Should be one that, look, I honest engine, I think that this is going to be a very closely contested game. It is a very difficult game to try to handicap as far as who the winner is, because really what it comes down to, so I feel like a lot of these Super Bowls, including last year, most of us that do this can give you a pretty good indication of who's going to win the game. Covering the spread may be a little more difficult, but who's going to win the game? This is not one of those years. In fact, it kind of reminds me of back in 2019 when the two met, a lot more unknowns at that point. But these two teams met, and if you remember, San Francisco dominated that game and then fell apart in the fourth quarter, much like Shanahan's offense. I'm not going to put it all on Shanahan because Quinn was involved too, but much like the Falcons did, not to do the extreme, 10-point lead and a 28-3 lead are two totally different things. But it's very, very similar in the fact that the team that you thought was going to win all game long didn't end up winning. So you go into this game and you look at all... Look, if you go top to bottom and we put up... I'm just talking about the basic things. I'm not going to do a deep dive on everything. We're going to do more of that on the Super Bowl show, which will be Saturday on Braves Country Radio, 10 a.m. We'll be live with the guys. Our last show for the season, and then we'll talk more about it on Saturday, what the schedule will look like. But you're looking at, if you put the quarterbacks head-to-head, obviously Patrick Mahomes gets the nod. If you put the receiving cores head-to-head, and I'm going to throw the tight ends in there with it, just the whole nine yards, I'm going to give a slight edge to San Francisco, but it's not as big of an edge as a lot of folks might think, because Travis Kelce has been so damn good recently, and because Rashee Rice has the ability to make the plays that he's got. And if the Kansas City receivers will hold on to the damn ball, they can make some plays. But San Francisco, I mean, you've got a healthy Debo. You've got Brandon Ayuk. Kittle still has something in the tank. And then in the passing game, don't forget about CMC, Christian McCaffrey. As far as the line play, let's just take it to this. Let's say who's got the advantage when San Francisco has the ball versus the Kansas City entire defense. So we're talking about line play. We're talking about everything. I think it's about a stalemate because Kansas City has had the better defense in these playoffs. They just have. One of the problems is San Francisco has not gotten off to a hot start in either one of these games. And what their bread and butter has been is to get out to the early lead and not only be able to feed Christian McCaffrey left and right, but then the other thing, the obvious thing is they've got the best pass rush. Probably they've got one of the better pass rushes we've seen in a long time. But their run defense is very average at best. So the key to this entire game is going to be game script. And I know that's easy to say, but this game, more than anything else, I've believed it. Last year, I told y'all I thought Kansas City would win the Super Bowl. I felt like Patrick Mahomes, when it was all said and done, he was a better quarterback. Jalen Hurts played better than I thought he would, and that game was much closer. But in the end, it was Patrick Mahomes making plays and Hurts and company not making plays. We're kind of faced with the same thing this year. And people don't want to hear it, but we're starting to trend towards Tom Brady territory. Because if Patrick Mahomes goes out and gets that third Super Bowl, if he plays for a long time, he's trending to catch Tom Brady. Remember, Tom Brady got the three Super Bowls early in his career, but then there was a long drought. And then he racked up three more, and then he got the fourth one, or the seventh one total, in Tampa. Now, who knows what happens when Andy Reid retires? Does Andy Reid retire after this game? There's been some rumors. I don't think so. It hasn't felt like that he's ready to give up and pack it in. But the only person that would know that is Andy Reid. I don't think he's going to tip his hand. So, past that, let's say Patrick Mahomes gets another Super Bowl. And let's say Andy Reid does not retire. And let's say he coaches another few years. And in the next few years, Patrick Mahomes gets his fourth. And let's just assume that whoever replaces Andy Reid doesn't suck. And they figure out how to win and win consistently and keeps the Chiefs, keeps Patrick Mahomes, assuming he stays with the Chiefs his whole career. You keep him going and you get him in the playoffs, and all he needs is a ticket punched. See, for folks who aren't old enough to remember Joe Montana and the 49ers and the greatness that he was and the four Super Bowls that he won, remember something with the 49ers. In the years that they didn't, they were very Jekyll and Hyde. They would win a Super Bowl, and then the next year, they'd be awful. They'd either miss the playoffs or they would stumble in. You didn't get that with Tom Brady. He was normally punching his ticket, and all he had to do is find a way to get in there. And it really is miraculous. It's more miraculous to me that Tom Brady only won 7, because it felt like every year he had a puncher's chance of winning it. And if you give Patrick Mahomes a puncher's chance of winning it, you say you put him in the playoffs, you say you put him in the division as a division champion most of the time, maybe a few times he's a wild card, but most of the time. Because remember, that was the key to Tom Brady's success and Bill Belichick's success. They weren't just getting in the playoffs. They were winning the divisions, and they were getting the bye back when two teams got a bye. But more importantly, they were playing home games. If he gets this Super Bowl and Reed sticks around the next few years and they get a fourth one and then hangs it up, you're trying to tell me that Patrick Mahomes can't figure out three more Super Bowl wins over his... Now, the one thing that you can't factor in is A, injuries, and B, the obvious thing would be, does the rest of the league catch up and do more quarterbacks come around that can do the kind of things that Patrick Mahomes can do? That really wasn't what you were dealing with Tom Brady. With Tom Brady, they were just so darn good because A, Brady was incredibly accurate. Student of the game, no one was going to outwork him. And then on top of that, the Bill Belichick's defense were elite. Right now, what makes Kansas City so hard to beat, first of all, that defense is much better than it was last year. But as far as the Patrick Mahomes thing goes, he just does things on the field that other people can't do. But you have these new crops of quarterbacks coming up, these younger crops, and they're going to want their championships. They're not going to want old man Mahomes to collect all the rings. And so who comes by in the meantime to rattle his cage? Who comes by and says, nah, you're not winning again? It's really for if you're pulling against the Chiefs, it's got to start in their division. The Raiders have to be anything but a laughing stock. Justin Herbert now has John Harbaugh. I think he's going to be a problem for the Chiefs. And then who in the world knows what is going on in Denver? Because Sean Payton, I have less and less faith in Sean Payton daily when you read about some of the stuff that has gone on. And just, I don't know. I know he worked wonders with Drew Brees, but Drew Brees, it was a different breed. Drew Brees, like the other greats that have come along, not only was he pinpoint accurate, but he had a drive himself. And remember, they only won one, but that'll be the big key. And then, of course, you look at the rest of the conference, You look at the AFC South. Can Trevor Lawrence get it back going in the right direction? Because he had a terrible year this year. More importantly, I think more dangerously, C.J. Stroud is going to be a problem for everybody in the AFC. What's Will Levis going to be like? What is Anthony Richardson going to be like? We didn't get much of a litmus test for Anthony Richardson, so we'll get learn a lot more this year. And then, of course, you're still going to have the Josh Allens. You got to figure he's eventually going to crack into the Super Bowl, right? He can't be a consistent disaster every year. Aaron Rodgers supposedly will be ready to roll. Tua's going to have to make a liar out of me because I just don't think he's got it. I don't think he has the arm strength. But Mike McDaniel could be a problem. McDaniel, if he gets fed up with dealing with Tua, he might go out and get himself a different quarterback. And then, of course, you got the AFC North. Does Lamar Jackson, in the offseason, make a commitment to becoming a quarterback? Or is he going to be okay with constantly just trying to out-athlete you, and then when you hit January, he gets exposed? He gets exposed in January for one reason and one reason only. It's not that he's not a great athlete. It's not that he doesn't have the potential to be an outstanding quarterback. He gets exposed because he's extremely inaccurate with most of his passes. And in January, those defenses are better. And they're locked in. And the ones that have gotten that far are better defenses. You go back to that game against Kansas City. I mentioned this before, but I'm going to hammer it home. I'm watching that game and play after play after play after play with Lamar Jackson. He was inconsistent. No, actually, he was consistent because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. If he wasn't overthrowing or underthrowing his receivers, he was throwing the ball where the receiver had to stop, wait on the ball, or go back and get the ball. And at that point, the defender's ready to clean his clock. There's too much speed in the secondaries and on the outer edges in the National Football League. And if you're not accurate, you're not going to be successful in January, and you're probably going to get one of your receivers killed. And then who knows what Pittsburgh's going to be. I'm not convinced that they have their quarterback of the future in that current roster. Cleveland, the jury's still out with Deshaun Watson. You put all his creepy stuff aside, I'm just talking about from the football aspect of it, he hasn't been impressive. The best quarterback play that Cleveland has gotten in that town in the last 5 years was about a five-game window with Joe Flacco. So the only other team that I haven't mentioned in the AFC that's going to be in Mr. Mahomes' way, he was injured this year, and you'd hope he'd come back firing on all cylinders. You got to figure Joe Burrow gets in there. If you're going to tell me that Josh Allen will eventually get a Super Bowl ring, you best believe Joe Burrow's getting one. No way he's not. Let's get into some of the lines here. So right now we're still sitting at 2. All in all, we're right around 2, give or take. -2, San Francisco. Some books have it -1.5. I even saw one this morning, -1. The money line's around 125, Kansas City getting 2. I don't think the line's going to move much in either direction. Because I think, for very long, I know, if that line jumps up to 2.5, people are jumping in, they're going to hammer that, and they're going to take the Chiefs. And then the line's going to move down to either 2 or 1.5, and then people are going to jump back on the 49ers. It'll be interesting to see where the money's coming in. We'll have more on that on the Saturday show. But what the public is. So there's a difference between the public bets and what they call the sharp money. And what it means is your average Joe is throwing $50 to $100 on a Super Bowl bet. Some a little more, but not crazy. And so they count up the volume of bets, the number of bets that are made on said team. But then they count up the number, the amount of money, and that's what they call the sharp money, because these are the professional gamblers. These are the ones that are going to be betting 6 to 7 digits on Sunday. And some of them, it makes or breaks their year. Now, the really successful ones, the very good ones, the Super Bowl does not make or break their year, because they know that the best handicappers in all the world are in the NFL, and you better believe they're involved in the Super Bowl, and they make their money throughout the season. Not just in the NFL, but college football, Major League Baseball, college basketball, etc. There's a pretty interesting theory that I was listening to this week, and it makes a lot of sense. And what they were saying is at halftime of the college basketball games that are leading into the Super Bowl. So in other words, there are games being played on Super Bowl Sunday in college basketball that I'll go ahead and go to that scoreboard real quick so I can give you a specific. So Sunday, you're going to have, well, there's one top 25 team. That's Florida Atlantic and Wichita State. That's at noon. But I'm more talking about, okay, there's a couple of games. I think the one you would circle would be Minnesota and Iowa. It's a 3 o'clock tip-off. It's on the Big Ten Network. And what they were saying was, look and see what the line is around halftime. And if you like a lean one way or the other, you might be able to jump on that book and take advantage because of one main reason. And that would be your big-time handicappers have now shifted their attention, and they're not paying attention to the Minnesota-Iowa game, or Northern Iowa and UIC, which is at 4 o'clock, or Bowling Green, Louisiana, which is at 3 o'clock. You can even talk about the 2 o'clock tips. You got a few of them, and you've got some noon tip-offs, but those not as much. Like Penn State-Northwestern at 1 o'clock, that's not one that I'm referring to. I'm talking more about the 2 and 3 o'clock tip-offs. Where on the second half of it, they're a little preoccupied. Because a lot of money comes in on something. And they've got to adjust. And so they can't adjust to what you're doing. And I'm talking about the big books out west. Those are still ran by people. They have algorithms involved in the smaller things. But they're ran by people on the big things. So keep that in mind if you're betting Sunday. Keep something else in mind. If you like the under on some of the more popular player props, wait until that last half hour on Sunday to place your bet. Because, and I'll just give you an example because we were talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce earlier. Travis Kelce is going to be a popular bet. And right now on his player prop, let me double check it real quick. But okay, on the offshore book that I'm looking at right now, Travis Kelce, his receiving player prop is 6.5, over under 6.5. There is a very good chance that when you get into that on Sunday, that number is going to go up. So right now, I'll go ahead and double check it on the Hard Rock bet. Right now, for instance, Travis Kelce, his player prop is 6.5 over under on the receptions. But let's say a boat ton of money comes in on Travis Kelce. And all of a sudden, and by the way, his over under receiving yards is 70. But let's say a boat ton of money comes in on Kelce in the over, the yards in the over. And you just don't think it's going to happen. You think he's going to have a solid game, 4 or 5 catches, but you just don't think he's going to hit. Wait until right before kickoff. There's a very good chance that Kelce's over-under is going to go to 7.5. And that can make the difference on whether or not you hit your bet. Right now, it's 6.5 at a minus 150. What that's telling you is that the book believes that he's going to get to 7, which means they're not far from flipping that number up to 7.5. And on that over 7.5, you may get a better payout to entice you to bet. So in other words, it goes to -6.5 or over 6.5 at a minus 150 payout, but it goes to 7.5 and all of a sudden you're at a minus 105. And the rookie bettor goes, oh, well, man, I'm going to make better money. Yeah, let's do it. But what's happening is your chances of covering have diminished. So that's all I'm saying. If you, and I'm not talking about just Travis Kelce. If you're talking about passing yards for Patrick Mahomes and you think the under's going to hit, wait until a half hour before kickoff. If you think there's no way CMC is going to get, 4.5 on receptions and his receiving yards is 34.5, if you're going to take that under, I beg of you, wait until just before kickoff. 34.5 is very gettable for Christian McCaffrey. He's going to have a lot of money coming on him not just on the over of the receiving, but also the rushing and the rushing and receiving total, and that number is going to climb. If you believe that these guys are going to hit their number, drop it now. Get it now, because that number is only going to go up. Travis Kelce, beginning of the week, his over-under receiving yards was 72.5. It's down to 70.5. That means people are banging the under. They're banging the under, and it's sharp money coming in on that because, okay, first of all, the thing that comes in, goes into your favor, you take the under. What if a guy gets an injury? Even if he doesn't get knocked out of the game, what if it knocks him out of him for a series or two? But then the other thing is the matchup for Kelce in this game is going to be tough. I think he can probably get his number, but I'm staying away from it. I was thinking about doing it just because you thought maybe, well, they always find a way, and Kelce always finds a way to get open, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be a tough, tough lean. In seven receptions, it's an overreaction to what happened in Baltimore when he had 11 receptions in the championship game. But the over-under going to that game was 5.5. So you don't want to overreact to the previous game because the Baltimore defense just lost track of Travis Kelce for whatever reason. I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, as far as if you're wanting to look for something that you want to jump on early, and obviously I say this with a grain of salt because I do like to wait until the final injury reports are out, because you don't want to jump on something that all of a sudden dude comes in questionable, probable. But Isaiah Pacheco, 67.5. I like the over in that. San Francisco has struggled to stop the run. And assuming Pacheco stays healthy all game, Isaiah Pacheco is going to get the carries. I mean, if you're feeling really frisky, he's plus 275 to hit 100 yards. And that's a great payout, but I would say to you, if you're going to do that, why not go ahead and just go ahead and knock him down for the MVP? Because he's plus 3,000 on MVP. If he gets over 100 yards rushing, there's a very good chance Pacheco is the MVP. So we're talking about a big-time situation there where if you say, hey, I think he's going to get 100 over 100 yards, let's go, plus 275. No, take him for the MVP. Put less money on it and just sprinkle some on for the MVP. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. You start talking about, well, is he going to hit the, over the 260 mark on the passing yards, and it's a minus. If you think that Kansas City is going to win, you think he's going to have a great game, and that's why you're betting that, why wouldn't you just bet Patrick Mahomes the MVP? Brock Purdy, not so much. Brock Purdy, I don't think he's getting enough of a payout. He's plus 190. That's not good. Brock Purdy, I know he's the quarterback, and I get that part of it, but if the 49ers win the Super Bowl, there's a very good chance that he's not the MVP, that it could be Debo. It could be Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's plus 400. If I think the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl, I'm more likely to put the money on Christian McCaffrey to win the MVP over Brock Purdy. Travis Kelce, by the way, plus 1,100. If you believe in all the kooky-dook theories and that everything's rigged and whatnot, you might as well throw some hay on Travis Kelce, plus 1,100 MVP. If you're going to believe in all those tinfoil conspiracy theories that the NFL is scripted and the NFL is rigged and whatnot, might as well put your money where your mouth is, make some money off it, because if it's rigged, Travis Kelce is the Super Bowl MVP, he proposes to Taylor Swift, and she sings at halftime with Usher. Go make your money, because Kansas City winning the Super Bowl doesn't prove that it's rigged. Kansas City winning the Super Bowl has already happened two times in the last 4 years. The best quarterback and arguably the best coach of the NFL winning the Super Bowl, we've seen that before. That's not anything new. But a tight end winning a Super Bowl, well, maybe I'm willing to buy a little bit of what you're selling. That Pacheco Super Bowl MVP, though, I mean, that is very, very enticing. I mean, even if you put $10 on it, you're going to get $300. Debo Samuel would be another one. Problem is, they go through stints where they use him more of a decoy. And you can make the argument that, okay, first of all, he's obviously not the best running back on his team. And he's not the best receiver on his team. Brandon Ayuk is. Now, what makes him so dangerous is that you can use him in so many different ways. But he's not the best at his position. It's not a Shohei Ohtani situation where, man, this guy's the best batter and the best pitcher on his team, obviously before the injury. Debo Samuel is very good, but he's the second best at those positions. But it's an interesting, I mean, you're talking about plus 2,000. I'd probably be more willing to take a swing for him than I would Travis Kelce at plus 1,100, only because if Kelce catches like a couple of touchdowns, what did Patrick Mahomes do? Did he throw four or five? If he only throws two touchdowns and barely gets 200 yards passing and Kelce has half the yards and has both the touchdowns, then yeah, you got to give it to Kelce. But Debo could get there a number of different ways, so that's why he's a little enticing. If you want to take long shots, looking on the defensive side, Chris Jones and Nick Bosa, 10,000 and 7,500 respectively. Chase Young, 20,000. Just don't save your money. Chase Young has shown that he's been making business decisions. He does not want to stop the run. So he's going to get plowed and ran over a few times. That's not going to be your Super Bowl MVP. We'll get into more of these on tomorrow's show. But next up, I'm putting my hat in the ring for a very important position, a job opening. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit Stamps.com. Use promo code LISTEN for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, promo code LISTEN.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and the phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Billy man, come on. 6 o'clock news, say somebody been shot.
Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
Welcome back.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day.
Remembering the great Toby Keith. Sad, sad day in music and in America. Great American, Toby Keith, and I would highly advise anyone who has not found his music to dive in this weekend. Be a great time to, and of course, if you are a Toby Keith fan as I am, I'm definitely going to be cranking some Toby Keith this weekend. Sad, sad situation. So he passed away at the age of 62, gone way too soon. And so we're doing the Super Bowl party at my house on Sunday, obviously. And we had already planned on we're decorating a little bit of Taylor Swift, and some of it has to do with the fact that a lot of the girls that are coming over to the party are Taylor Swift fans. And I, you know, people getting all bent out of shape about her being in the Super Bowl once again. I mean, we just decided to go ahead and lean into it. What the hell? Who cares? You know, let's have fun with it. But then when the news happened with Toby Keith, you know, there's not a lot you can go out and get because I was trying to find stuff. And so, but we are making sure that everyone's drinking out of red Solo cups. So, little remembrance for Toby Keith on the Super Bowl. And I know he's a big football fan, and I've told the story before, but he met him briefly years ago before he got really big, and told him the story of going and seeing him in concert, and then he doesn't show up. So he broken his leg, and it's some kind of a pickup football game. And instead, we had to see David Ball. I'm not trying to trash David Ball, but when you're excited to see Toby Keith open up for Brooks Dunn and instead you get David Ball, it's a little, I mean, even at that moment, it was the very beginning of his career, we knew we were getting screwed in this deal. We're like, man, that's a good song thinking problem by David Ball, but I don't think he's going to have much of a career, but this Toby Keith seems like he's about to be something big. So He got a laugh out of the story. Maybe I'll get more into it down the road about it, more in depth about it. But anyways, tip of the cap to Toby Keith. And you know, man, I'll tell you what, that was some fun stuff. Him going back and forth with the Dixie Chicks. And I wouldn't call myself a Dixie Chicks fan, but I liked their music. I liked their songs. And then they dug in and went straight up anti-America. And I was like, well, goodbye. That's the last time I remember them being a factor until they tried to go woke in 2020 and change their name to just Chicks. And I was like, man, you really don't want anyone to ever talk about you again. So cheers to Toby Keith, and we move on, heading towards the Super Bowl. Look, there's a big, big job opening, shifting gears, in these United States, and I've decided to put my hat in the ring. 2024 presidential election. I'm going to run for it, baby. Let's go. Now, you're going to have to write me in because I'm not going to go through all the stuff that you have to go to get your name on the ballots. So, do we think we're going to win? Probably not. Probably not. I'm not going to be delusional like Nikki Haley or, you know, any of the others that you're like, come on, what are you doing? You're just wasting everybody's time. We know it's going to come down to Biden versus Trump. But for all the people who are appalled by the direction in which this country has gone in the last few years and the stumbling and the mumbling and the bumbling, every time you see a press conference, I mean, it is an absolute disaster. But I know there's a lot of folks out there who don't like the other side. They don't like Trump. And so you might be sitting there going, who the hell am I going to vote for? Well, I'm going to tell you what my platform is and what I'm running on this year. And I think I'll get some people on my side. If we get just 1% of the vote, I will look at it as a win. All right. First and foremost, now we're going to have some serious topics because there are some things that you're like, my God, what is going on? You know, the number one with the bullet, and look, everybody wants to talk about gun control. Everybody wants to talk about the wall. They want to talk about Border Patrol, and rightfully so. They want to get rid of the no cash bail, which has been a disaster. I get that. They want to get, have you seen this thing with the prepaid credit cards for the illegal immigrants in New York that has been up to $53 million? Meanwhile, they cut the veterans' money that they're giving in the state of New York by $6 million, and they're going to make half of what the illegal immigrants are going to get on their credit cards. $53 million towards the credit cards in New York and $24.5 for veterans of the United States military. That's absurd. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to get rid of that stupid credit card. You don't break into the country illegally, then we give you a bunch of money. We're taking that money, we're giving it to the veterans. That is an absolute no-brainer. Anybody who does not believe that we should be doing that, I have to question whether or not you should even have the right to vote. But the number one serious topic, and then we're going to get into having some fun. You know what we get into, what has caused most of the problems that we've had on both sides of the aisle? Right, left, moderate, whatever. Man, they've got to have term limits. There is no reason for people to be in Congress for 40, 50 years. And I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it on air, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you how I think. If you had term limits for everybody, meaning whether you're talking about the House, the Senate, I know you've got the term limits on the presidency, but the point is, people running for president would be much younger and you wouldn't have some of these just debacles that you're having with the interviews right now with the president who can't even put, I mean, like the other day when they were dragging him because he was talking about a conversation that he just had a few years ago with the leader of France, and who the guy that he was referring to has been dead for 30 years. You don't have those issues if he wasn't in the Senate for 50 years prior to becoming the vice president under Obama and then later on becoming the president. But this isn't just geared at him. It's all of the people up there that can barely walk, can barely talk, can barely put a sentence together. So term limits is the number one thing that I'm like, you know what? I don't care if you're on the right side of the aisle, the left side of the aisle, if you're a moderate, get things done. I say 12 years, but I would even give you 20. And then get the hell out of there. Because if you had to make decisions that would later impact you as you went back to work in the private sector, you would have a different agenda. So there's that. All right. Now for the fun stuff. 2024 platform. The first thing, and I think this gets me in a landslide vote. This is what gets me in. The Monday after the Super Bowl becomes a federal holiday. Everything is closed. Everything. And if you are a restaurant or a retail store that decides to be open, you cannot open until after 12 p.m. local time. Gives everybody a chance to sleep it off. You can't have what is essentially a national holiday on a Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody hooping and hollering and raising hell, much like we do on New Year's Eve. And even the ones that aren't partaking in drinks. We're talking about people who go out and eat way too much. Whenever you're sluggish, you feel like junk the next day. You don't need to be at the workforce. You're not getting anything accomplished. So that becomes the number one thing. That's going to be the first thing I sign into the bill. The first bill I sign when I walk into office after being sworn in Super Bowl Sunday is a federal holiday. This is for you baseball fans. We are reversing the stupid designated hitter rule. We're not just taking it out of the American League. We're getting it out of Major League Baseball. But I'm going to meet you halfway, DH fans. I'm not closed-minded to the DH. Here's the caveat. They've experimented with this in a couple of different minor league systems. But the designated hitter rule that we're going to go to is your designated hitter is out of the game when your starting pitcher has to leave. And I don't care if your starting pitcher leaves via injury. I don't care if it's because they were an opener and you weren't planning on starting them. He leaves the game, period. To even things out, we're going to add an extra player onto the roster. That way, Major League Baseball Player Association is happy with the fact we now have 27-man roster. And that extra hitter or extra roster position will be a hitter. So that it will entice more managers or more general managers, I should say, of signing batters and extending careers. But let's get back to what made baseball great. I know there's a lot of folks out there that are on one side of the aisle or the other, but we're going to make baseball great again. Okay, that's what we're doing here. We're going to make sports great again. So you're off the day after the Super Bowl. The designated hitter rule is gone, so we've saved baseball. What is the next thing that I'm going to put onto the platform? I haven't decided what the name of the of our party is going to be. We'll come up with something catchy. Don't worry. We're going to revisit this throughout the year. This isn't just a one and done. We're not going to be like Governor Christie, where we say we're running and then you don't see us again after. What was the deal? He just stuck around just long enough to hang in there for Thanksgiving meal, and then he took off. No, we're here for the long haul. The next thing that I think would save sports in general: no more local blackouts. The blackout restrictions will be lifted. That is for the National Football League. That is for Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL for that matter, and anything else. We will not have blackout restrictions. So, for instance, if you own or if you purchase the MLB.TV package, and you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and you go to your game, you would see the game and it wouldn't tell you blackout restrictions apply. You can't buy the MLB ticket. You have to go and buy the streaming app, or you have to go a la carte in some areas. In some areas, you have to go out and get either your local cable or, you know, your YouTube TV, Sling TV, you know, whatever. Why? Why am I being punished living in my area? And don't tell me it's because you want to make sure the people go to games. That's not my concern. Same thing with the NFL. That doesn't happen a lot anymore, but if the NFL game does not sell out, you're not blacking it out in my area. You're not forcing me to go to the ball game, the football stadium, to watch a terrible product. Fix your team and maybe I'll come. So we get rid of all of the blackout restrictions. Another thing, as long as we're talking about streaming, we're getting rid of the a la carte app commercials. What I mean by this, have you seen this recently? You go into Prime Video and now they tell you, well, if you pay a $3 or $4 more a month, you won't get commercials. But if you don't give us your extra money, we're going to gut you. We're going to keep jabbing at you. Why am I paying $6, $7, $8, $12? I think Netflix is up to $17 or $18 a month. Why am I paying? And then you're also going to hit me with commercials? Figure it out. The whole point of paying for those a la carte apps is to go in and enjoy something without a damn commercial. If I want to watch the ones with the commercials, I'll just watch it on YouTube TV or Sling TV or one of the others and catch it on TBS and I'll sit through the commercials at Friends. Why am I going to get Friends or Big Bang Theory on one of the apps and now you're going to hit me with commercials again? What the hell is that? Unbelievable. I can't believe that's even a thing. They're double dipping the chip. Back on a serious note, here's another thing that we're going to add on the serious side of things. Monthly debates. Monthly debates. They won't always be the president versus, we'll say, the speaker, whoever the other party wants to send your way. You could do vice presidential debate. But you're going to have someone who is in your administration and they're going to debate someone on the other side of the aisle. Now, in my case, when I get in there, we're going to be debating three ways because, you know, I'll fight you all. But that way everyone tunes in once a month, knows what the big issues are, and it keeps everybody in line. And you don't just react and do certain things and try to get certain bills passed because it's an election year. You're always on the country's radar. So once again, those will be monthly debate. All right, and on to the next topic. Let's get back to some of the fun stuff. We're going to fix college football. We're going to stick Notre Dame in the Big Ten. Well, how are you going to even that out? We're taking Northwestern and throwing them in the ACC. They're not serious about football, but they're a good academic school. Let them go play basketball and other sports. Nothing wrong with that. But Notre Dame is going to quit hiding in independent land, and they're going to go take on their regional rivals. They're going to play Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State every single year. We're going to have some fun with college football again. If you start asking me about college basketball and the other sports, I don't give a crap. We'll figure those out down the road. We're fixing college football. So Northwestern heads to the ACC. Notre Dame goes into the Big Ten. We're taking Vanderbilt and they're going to the ACC. They're not serious about football, but they've got a good baseball program. They can have solid basketball programs. And regionally, it makes a lot of sense. They'll be right down the road from Georgia Tech. Let's go. Well, you're going to have odd numbers in the SEC. No, we're not. We're taking three teams out of the Atlantic Coast Conference and putting them in the Southeastern Conference and quit this mindless political crap in college football where you got the SEC claiming that Florida State, Clemson, or North Carolina are too scared to be in the SEC, which has been total BS. You can stop all the nonsense with the ESPN talking heads making up ridiculous angles on why things should be certain ways, but yet they're okay with. They don't like the fact that Florida State's trying to leave the ACC. And by the way, Clemson and North Carolina are sitting there quiet as a church mouse, letting Florida State take all the haymakers and fight their way through this bar fight to get them out. And then as soon as they get them out, they're going to come scurrying out the back door. You can bet that. So ESPN wants to kill Florida State for that, but they don't have a problem with Southern Cal, UCLA heading to the Big Ten. It was only a problem when Washington and Oregon followed suit the following year, because now it's just getting ridiculous, guys. It's not fair to ask a school who's trying to compete on the highest level to sit and take less money year after year after year because it fits your agenda. So Florida State, Clemson Tigers, North Carolina Tar Heels, the Seminoles, the Tigers, and the Tar Heels, they're heading to the Southeastern Conference. I get it. It's more likely that Florida State's heading to the Big Ten because of all the political BS that's going on between ESPN and Alabama and Florida trying to block Florida State. I get all that. But for the good of college football and for the fans who want to go to the games, North Carolina, Clemson, and Florida State go to the SEC. Notre Dame goes to the Big Ten. We're probably going to take a couple other teams and throw them in from the Big Ten, but that essentially would fix it. And then you got the two-team power conference. They're the King Dinglings at that point. And you would take the Big 12 and the ACC and you would combine those two conferences, make them one more mega conference, and there's no longer a Power 5 that's just a Big 3. And there you have that. So we fixed college sports. On my way to that, the NIL's got to get fixed. We'll give the ideas of what we have long-term down the road, but as of right now, all you need to know is there's going to be rules. It's not going to be the wild, wild west out there. And we're getting rid of the stupidity of anybody can transfer at any single time. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If we go back to the streaming part of the platform, why should I have to buy YouTube TV or before DirecTV or any other cable provider to be able to buy the NFL package? I don't have to have it with the NBA package. I don't have to have it with MLB TV or the NHL. Why do I have to do that? It's because they want the money that they have to pay to get the NFL rights. They want the money that you're going to, the extra money you're going to have to pay just to have the NFL package, and that extra $100 a month you're throwing out there that's paying for junk like ESPN that you may not be watching, or Bravo, or the Lifetime Network, or whatever the hell is on there. Any news channel that you don't like. If we're going to go a la carte, by God, let's go a la carte. You're going to give me the ability to buy the NFL package without buying all that other crap. The other thing that we're going to do, number one with the bullet, is we are going to save women's sports. Nothing against the trans community whatsoever. You do you. But men should not be competing against women in sports. It's not fair. And the majority of America, including the trans community, knows that it's a scam. It's a guy who wasn't good enough to win at the sport that he is now identifying across the board so that he can go. They are allowing men or trans to box women in the upcoming Olympics. Are you being serious right now? You're legalizing punching a woman. What in the wide world of buffoonery is this? We're saving women's sports. And because we're going to go at a la carte, I know there's a lot of women, and there's also a lot of like just like non-sports fans, because there are a lot of female sports fans, a lot of them. But there are a lot of non-sports fans that say they don't want to have to pay for ESPN and FS1. That's one of the reasons why this whole thing's collapsing. Because ESPN's gotten to the point. So if you're paying $70, $80 for your streaming, about 10 of it, 11 of it is going to ESPN. And that money's turned around and being chucked at stupid things that nobody's watching, like regular season NBA or First Take. So if you don't want to pay for that, and rightfully so, you shouldn't have to if you're not watching it. Then I don't want to have, if I want to watch ESPN or if I want to watch FS1 or I want to watch, what are some of the others, NBA TV, the NFL Network, I should be able to watch that without paying for Hallmark, Lifetime, or whatever cable news channel that I don't agree with their philosophies. And that's on both sides. Whether you're right or left, why should a left-leaning Democrat have to pay for Fox News Channel just because they want to watch ESPN? Why should a Republican want to watch, have to pay for CNN or MSNBC? So now, we get rid of all of it. And the other thing on the streaming situation is this. Gosh doggit, YouTube TV and all the rest of you. If I'm going through the guide and it says Florida versus LSU basketball, quit trying to trick me. Click over there. I find out that it's a women's college basketball game. Then I got to go get back out of that because I'm not watching that junk. You don't do that in any other sport. I don't go on and look for Major League Baseball and it says Atlanta versus New York and I flip over there and all of a sudden there's a softball game breaking out. If I want to watch women's basketball, I will look for it. If I want to watch men's basketball, I will look for it. But they used to put WCBB or MCBB, meaning men's or women's. So quit trying to trick us. They try to do it with the WNBA, but it doesn't work. Because there's cities in the WNBA. You're like, what the hell is that? You're like, no. Bozo alert. And last but not least, goodbye Thursday night football in the NFL. We don't need it. I don't need Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football. They are bad games. They are bad games typically because they're playing on short weeks. We don't need it. It's junk. If you're insisting to have that third night of football, you either are going to have to play on Tuesday or you are going to have to play on Friday. But no more of this play on Sunday, play on Thursday. The game's garbage. And we got to sit through Kirk Herbstreit, fumble around. He can't even carry a tune comparatively to all the other NFL analysts in the booth. And you know it's true because Al Michaels is frustrated as hell sitting next to him. Whole time he's thinking, he's like, shouldn't you be at like a Rutgers Ole Miss game? What are you doing here? You never saw Dick Vitale bust into the NBA Finals. Kirk Herbstreit's a disaster. He's getting worse. So what we're going to do is we're going to give them the option. You can either have Tuesday Night Football, which, by the way, they've gotten good ratings on that before. That's the one I'd be in favor of. But if not, we'll give you Friday Night Football. And Thursday night football will go back to a college football night. And we will rotate it. We will have an SEC game. We will have Big Ten games. We will rotate them and bring back to what Thursday nights used to be, which used to be pretty good college football matchups. We had some great ones in the 90s and mid-2000s. And then the NFL started their crap, and it's all gone to hell in a handbasket. And we end up with South Florida versus West Texas State, the first part of a doubleheader that will end with Pacific versus San Jose State. We're done with it. NFL, get the hell out of the way. This is not your time. You play on Sundays, you play on Mondays, and you play on Tuesday night. And if you don't want to play on Tuesday night, you can grab Friday night. But if you play on that Tuesday or that Monday night, you're not turning around and playing Friday night. There's going to be a bare minimum of 5 days in between kickoffs because the games suck. And as far as why it's college football, okay, because they play on Saturday. And it really is an equivalent to, and plus college football always does a very good job of when they play on that Thursday night back in the day. Usually the Saturday before, they were either off or they played a cupcake. And then you get the advantage, you play on that Thursday, and then you get 9 days for your next game. All right, we're going to jam out of here. We've got our slogan for now. McGee 2024, you could do a hell of a lot worse. Write-ins only, because we're not going to do all the legwork to get on ballots, because we really don't have that kind of funding. Oh, one last thing. If we're going to build a wall to keep people coming in from Mexico, we're going to do it with Canada, too, before the National Hockey League spreads like wildfire. Ah, we'll see ya. Have a great day. We're going to leave you with a tribute to the great Toby Keith. We love you, Toby. And after that, you will hear lineup for Braves Country one more time.
I'll bet you never heard old Marshall Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settling down, would you marry me? If I ask you twice and beg you pretty please, she'd have said yes in a New York minute. They never tied the knot. God wasn't in it. He just stole a kiss as he rode away. He never hung his hat up at Kitty's place. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six shoes, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy. Singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy.
Goodbye, sweetheart, well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves Baseball all year long. jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines, react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show. Phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024. Lineup for Braves Country by DM McGee, 2024. A is for Aaron, the Hammer and Hank, the real home run king. Take that to the bank. B is for Bobby. Cox never cowered. He'd give Blue quite an earful on his way to the showers. C is for Chipper. Don't call him Larry. He would show up in Shea, the Mets he would bury. D is for David. Justice he'd bring. A game six solo brought Atlanta their ring. E is for Eddie Matthews. 512 bombs away. Lit skies from Boston to Milwaukee to the A. F is for Fred. McGriff dog biting crime. A fire was lit the day he arrived. G is for Glavin. Southpaw whines and kicks, changing speeds east and west, a gem in game six. H is for Harry and his brother George Wright, the father of baseball, Boston pennants in flight. I is for inning, ending double play, Riley to Ozzie to Olsen all day. J is for Jones, Andrew let her fly, and his gloves in center is where singles would die. K is for strikeouts, a plenty from Strider. The quads in the stash, getting swings from that slider. L is for Lopez, Javi to B-Mac. Travis and Smurf, we've been lucky to see that. M is for Mad Dog, he won 355. Could swat flies with the changeup and still bust you inside. N is for Necro, he got to the hall by bending and knuckling and floating that ball. O is for Otis, old Nixon could fly. The catch at the wall baffled our eyes. P still for Peterson, we were all rocking pearls. With Eddie and Jorge, we were out of this world. Q is a quandary for why Dale is not in. Murphy MVPs again and again. R is for ranking, the top pitcher's lore. Remember Kid Nichols, 107 war. S is for Smoltzy, the big three in the hall. When the game's on the line, you give John the ball. T is for Tyler, Matzik and the gift of 2021, the entire night shift. U is for Chavez, but we say Uncle Jesse. The frames, the release, kept the batters guessing. V is Van Wieren, Skip Carey too. Don, Ernie, Joe, the tales from the booth. W is Warren, Spawn, Johnny Sane. They'd ride him in Boston and then pray for rain. X is Mazzoni. Yeah, X marked the spot. Leo rocked next to Bobby, and his pitchers stayed hot. Why, it makes us feel young. The game's main appeal. Chopping through the battery, there's no better feel. Z is for Zip, Boom, Bam, Ramalama, Ding, Dong. Throughout the summer, we sing that song. From AJ to eyeglasses, and a hell of a pen. Mad Max, Uncle Charlie, win after win. A cannon from short, and R see you later. Acuna Matata, there is no one greater. Though you can't fit them all, when you just A to Z, think of your favorites in the rafters we see. I started with 3, then 10, 25. 47, 31, and of course 29. Let's not forget 21. 41, 35. The great 44, or 755. An old number 6, who led his great teams. The pennants were flying. It felt like a dream. From Boston to Milwaukee, to Atlanta's TBS. A family, a tradition. Braves Country's the best. Lineup for Braves Country by DM McGee, 2024. Thank you.